Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The World Health Organization says a new vaccine for the deadly Ebola virus could be ready within a year's time. The temporary vaccine has not yet been approved by any regulatory authority, but an emergency stockpile of 300,000 doses has already been created. It is a significant leap 2 years after the Ebola outbreak that claimed 11,000 lives. Anthony Fauci with the National Institutes of Health spoke with NPR today and said this about his confidence in the vaccine.
The study itself was relatively small when you think in terms of the numbers of people you generally do in a big, massive vaccination trial. And that's the reason why vaccine trials are still going on to determine if we can get a better immune response. But we feel reasonably confident in the results of this particular trial.
The announcement was just one of many science stories to catch our attention in 2016. There was also Zika and the efforts to get that virus under control. And there were significant steps forward in DNA science and artificial intelligence. Mariette DeChristina is editor-in-chief of Scientific American, and she's here with her top stories of the year. Mariette, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me today.
Sure. I understand that right at the top of your list is the discovery of gravitational waves.
Oh, what a real favorite this one is for me, I have to say personally. 100 years ago, when Einstein published his theory of relativity, who knew how many ways that this would affect our lives? And here's one that, for me at least, solved a great mystery and for thousands of scientists as well.
Okay, you've got to explain it a little bit because this is complicated, but basically it's direct evidence that black holes exist, right?
Yeah, let me back up and explain a little bit about relativity. So just imagine a piece of fabric, like a blanket, and imagine that you grab one end of it and gave it a wiggle, and you'd see a little ripple go across. That's what happens when two large black holes collide with each other. They have literally disturbed an area of space and caused ripples, which we call gravity waves.
Hmm. Going back to high school physics right now, although I'm not sure we ever got there. Maybe it's college, advanced college physics.
It might have been a little bit more towards college, yeah.
Well,
what's cool about this is these two black holes collided with each other a billion years ago. And last year, the couple of detectors that we have here in the U.S. in Louisiana and Washington State kind of heard the chime of that little wrinkle that we were just talking about.
Fascinating. Well, okay, let's talk about Zika, arguably one of the biggest stories of the year overall. As we know, brain defect-causing virus spread by mosquitoes throughout the tropics and even now in parts of the United States. Here was Centers for Disease Control Director Tom Frieden in May.
We have never before identified a situation where a mosquito bite could result in an infection that causes a devastating birth defect. It is unprecedented, it is tragic, and it is now proven.
Frieden says unprecedented. How important was this as a science story?
Well, I think it was a huge science story for all of us. I mean, starting off maybe when a lot of us in the U.S. at least became aware in February when the World Health Organization declared a public health emergency about this out of Brazil. And as he just said, we had never seen before a mosquito transmission lead to these kinds of birth defects, which led to smaller heads and smaller brains in little babies when they were newborns, but also can cause an autoimmune disease that can affect people of any age.
Yeah.
For a time there, we weren't even sure if it was the Zika virus or something else, which was part of the cause of the emergency.
Well, there's still a lot we don't know about Zika, actually. The World Health Organization says that the public health emergency is over, but there's still a lot of research going on trying to figure out some of the details of this virus.
Yeah, that's totally true. There are several studies that we'll get a better picture on that were happening this year, and we'll see the reports next year. But on the hopeful side, as you say, the WHO has declared the end of the public health emergency. And one of the reasons is we now can focus on sort of positive aspects, so learning more about it, like you've just mentioned, but also vaccines that could be used. And we'll be heading soon in the coming months to human trials. There are at least two of them that I'm aware of that are coming along. So hopefully soon we'll start to see some ways we can address this problem.
Well, this next story is fascinating. Okay, so a patient in China this year became the first person to be treated with gene-edited cells. Now, if I'm remembering correctly, that's CRISPR, right?
Yeah.
What happened?
Very good.
Yeah.
It's called CRISPR and CRISPR-Cas9, and I'm going to do us all a favor and not give you the acronym spelling.
Right.
But basically, all you need to know is what CRISPR comes from is a bacterial defense in our own bodies that uses an enzyme called Cas that cuts DNA apart, and it's a way that we fight against things. And so they've used this this technique of the enzyme cutting to try to, in the case of this patient that you're mentioning, who has lung cancer, stimulate the immune system so that the patient's own body can help fight against the cancer.
And there's a lawsuit now involved with CRISPR.
Oh, yeah. Boy, this is a big one. That's actually been going on for a while. So two research teams at different institutions both came up with a technique and both filed for patents at pretty close to each other. And there's some dispute for various reasons about who might actually be first. So the U.S. Patent Trade Office is doing what's called a patent interference, where they're trying to determine which team was actually first to use the technique, not just file for the patent, and also which one had the idea to do it first.
And another problem with that, I mean, some people are saying, look, you could use this to create designer babies, which would be a little bit scary. You pick the qualities that you want to have in an embryo, for example, which could be scary. But let's go to a different story. There is this AlphaGo computer program that was created by Google that used artificial intelligence to beat a world master at the ancient Chinese game of Go. So here, let's hear a little bit from Demis Hassabis, who helped create AlphaGo. He's going to explain how his program learned to play.
It starts off by looking at professional games and learning from those. Then it learns by self-play through practice, if you like. And then it learns to do planning on top of that.
Okay, why did AlphaGo make the list?
What a cool innovation this was. It's in something called deep learning. And what this does is try to use human neural networks, meaning the way our brains think, as a model for the way computers can think. And to play the game of Go, it's got pretty simple rules, but it's complicated for a machine to play because on this 19 by 19 size grid, there are, in a typical game, more options than there are atoms in the universe. So for, you know, one thing computers are great at is crunching things really quickly, but you can't crunch through, you know, more options than atoms in the universe if you do it the kind of straightforward blunt force way that computers normally would work. So what's amazing about this is that it could play a human and beat a human in a paper published by Nature in January of this year. Wow. where they revealed the results, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah. Number five on your list is climate change. And of course, this was the year that the Paris Climate Accord was signed. It's a major victory for climate activists. On the other hand, Donald Trump wins the White House and promises to roll back environmental regulations. He's nominated a climate change denier to lead the EPA. And also just major problems in the Arctic this year. The ice is melting because temperatures are so much higher than normal.
Right. I mean, just on the sea ice piece, there's no doubt about it. In the past several decades, we've seen increase in warming by every metric that we can see, or climate change, I should call it, actually, because although it's a global, warming overall, climate may be warmer or cooler in locations, which I think often confuses people. So every time there's a cold snap from something like the polar vortex, which everybody was talking about recently, people will say, well, does that mean climate change has gone away? Well, no, it hasn't.
It's actually a symptom of climate change, right?
It actually is. So you got that quite right. So a bit of a seesaw year here where we had a lot of early in the year, with the Paris, agreement that you mentioned, looking very positive, including in September when the U.S. and China, which together account for 38% of the emissions, said they would come aboard, and other nations came aboard. But immediately, unfortunately, we're hearing some signs, or a lot of signs, I should say, given both the language used and the appointments proposed, that the president-elect may decide to pull out of the Paris Agreement. And he's in the past even called climate change a hoax by the Chinese.
Hmm. Okay, here's the last one we're going to talk about. It was a very big moment that sounded like this.
So you're seeing live footage of Course I Still Love You, our drone ship, waiting for the... There's the engine. Slow it down, lights up deployed.
That was people so excited about the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket, which was landing... a reusable rocket on a robotic drone. It was the private space company's fifth attempt to do it. How important was this to you?
It was a beautiful landing. I actually was just watching that video again this morning myself.
Did you get
fun.
Excited again?
And I did. Actually, you know, I have to say, hearing the sound is just as good. Seeing as such excitement in the air. But what an amazing feat to land something kind of exactly where we wanted to. I mean, the saying that, you know, it's not rocket science, or it is rocket science, is because it's so hard to do. So this was kind of tremendous engineering and science compared, and who knows where humanity will head next with
it. Yeah. What's it mean for space?
I think it means potentially for space the kind of dream we've all dreamed of, which is, could we reuse the space equipment the way we have said we would? I mean, the shuttle, U.S. shuttle famously was supposed to be going all the time to space. It turned out more complicated than that. It turned out a lot more expensive than that. Those missions used to cost $500 million each. Maybe someday it will be easier, and then maybe we can extend our human reach to places like Mars, which I know is on the docket, and others beyond.
Mariette DeChristina, editor-in-chief of Scientific American, with a look back at the year in science. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And yes, we know it was a busy year. We did not get to everything. There was that baby born with DNA from three parents. That was interesting. And the Greenland shark named the longest living vertebrate. It gets to be 500 years old. That's crazy. Tell us your top story at hereandnow.org.